Then you deal with that issue. You clarify for them, Son of God. What does Son of God mean? God having a son. What does it mean? Cows have calves. Cats have kittens. What do gods have? Little gods? Yeah. Does that make sense? I mean, hey, you know, you got a big God, a little God. Hey, you have two gods here. I mean, if you're going to make that kind of a analogy, he had a begotten son. And if you stop and think for a minute, it doesn't make sense, really. Or the idea that, you know, somehow Jesus was God. You know, Jesus himself was God. You need to clarify for them, no, Jesus wasn't God. If Jesus was God, as you said, after he was resurrected, where is he now? So he's in the heaven, sitting on the right hand of God. But you just said he was God. Huh? God the Father is God the Son, but he's sitting on the right hand of God. Then who's sitting on his left hand? God. And he's God? Yeah. Complications here, you know, this idea, but this is part of their belief. You know, they'll say, oh, it's a divine mystery. You know, that's the way out. Or they want to try to explain to you how God is three in one. They have a series of theories. Some of them, there's one called the water theory. You know water? It's either liquid, or it's gas, steam, or it's solid, it's ice. But it's still water. One. We say, okay, that's your God, you've got a water God. Our God is not like water. Or some have the tree theory. The tree has a trunk, it has roots, has branches. It's one tree. Your God has parts, divisible into parts, like a tree. Our God is not like a tree. Or the egg theory. The egg has a shell, has the white, has the yolk, but it's one egg. Come on, please. You know, you're making God like his creation, really. This is what you're coming down to. Some say, okay, well, you know, you can be a father, a brother, and a son, can't you? But you're still one person. Okay, but now, if me as a father dies, what happens to the brother and the son? Right? Problem here for you. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, that means the Father and the Holy Spirit all died. So it means God was finished. Right? So, our God is a mystery. It's a mystery. This understanding God is a mystery. We just believe it. We say, you know, God is not the author of confusion. It says that in your Bible. This is confusion. Is that what the early prophets called to? Can we hear Abraham, Moses, were they talking about this that you're talking about? Did Jesus speak about that? Did Jesus speak about a Trinity? These are all things which came about hundreds of years after Jesus. Know that your religion was fabricated by human beings. Try to show it to them through this. Of course, there are some people who say, listen, he has to be God because he made the dead come alive. He made the lame walk, made the blind see, made all these miracles. We say, go back to the Old Testament on page 71. You have a comparison there. All of the miracles of Jesus were done by prophets of the Old Testament. Mentioned. So we say this is not the basis of Jesus being God. He was born without a father. What about Adam? What about Eve? Eve had no mother. Adam had no father or mother. So what does that make them? You know, problems. You know, the arguments which they use for Son of God can even be more ludicrous. Some of them will tell you, look in the Bible, wherever, yes, it is mentioned throughout the Bible, Son of God term is used. And note that Jesus doesn't say anywhere, I am the Son of God. People around him may mention it, but Jesus doesn't say, I am the Son of God. Note then that in the Bible they say, well, whenever Son of God is used, and David is called the Son of God, Abraham is called, Adam is called, all these people are called sons of God. But whenever they use Son of God, they use a small s. In the Bible you'll see small s. But when they're talking about Jesus, they use capital S. Jesus is the Son of God, capital S. You see? See the difference? It means the real Son. What we say to them, in Hebrew and Greek, which the Old Testament is written in, Hebrew, and Greek, the New Testament written in, they don't have capitals. Like Arabic, there's no capitals and small letters. So where did that come from? It's contrived. Something contrived to create an understanding in your mind that doesn't exist. And then, the best thing to do is to take them to the way of Jesus, because the most popular statement that if a Christian doesn't know anything of the Bible, and most Christians don't even read the Bible, if a Christian doesn't know anything of the Bible, he will quote for you that Jesus is supposed to have said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." So we say to them, okay, what does that mean? I am the way. Jesus is the way. Well, they say we have to pray through Jesus to get to God. We say no. All of the prophets spoke about being the way. They showed the way to God. Now, where are you from Jesus' way? Where are you from Jesus' way? And we show them that the way of Jesus, in fact, is expressed now in the way of Islam. Muslims follow the way of Jesus more than Christians do. The average Christian, is he circumcised? No. But Jesus is mentioned in the Gospels as being circumcised on the eighth day. And of course, thinking about God being circumcised on the eighth day is really something absurd. But just take it back down to Jesus. You know, you're following the way of Jesus, you don't do circumcision. Jesus didn't eat pork. But you love pork. Three little piggies went to market. You know, I mean, you teach your little children, hey, everything is about piggies and pork. Right? But this was not the way of Jesus. Jesus didn't eat it, didn't promote it. You know, so you can go through, and in the notes we have a variety of different practices, whether it's prostration in prayer. Jesus is recorded as prostrating in prayer, and Christians now pray like Hindus, with their hands clasped, knees bent. This is Hindu prayer. This is not the prayer of Jesus. And a variety of other things, even the greetings itself. How did Jesus greet each, he and his companions greet each other? Hi, how you doing? Good morning? No. He said, Salaam Alaikum. That's how they greeted. So we can, by going through those points, clarify for them that the way of Jesus is embodied in Islam. Muslims are closer followers of Jesus than Christians who claim that he is God. And the final point that we can use, and again, this is for people who really are into Bible issues, born-again people, is that the scholars of Christianity are unanimous in accepting that the authors of the Gospels were unknown. They don't know who wrote the Gospels. So their doctrines, their systems, their documents are of dubious origin. We don't know who wrote them. And so there's contradictions amongst them. You don't have a reliable source of information. But as I said, this is for people who are heavy into the Bible and its authenticity, it's the Word of God, etc. You can get into that kind of discussion with them. But the main focus, I would advise, if we're giving da'wah to Christians, is to focus on the most important aspect, and that is, who is God? Make the clear distinction between Jesus and God, logically, scripturally for them, or whatever. You know, get that clear. Once they accept that, yes, Jesus is not God, he couldn't have been God, then you have a beginning point to understand Islam. Because really, after that, the teachings which exist in the Bible and that, belief in the angels, the books and all these other things, these all exist in Islam, you know, and it's just a matter of giving them the clarity that Islam has.